Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi Full Year 2016 Consolidated Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, CEO of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group Full Year 2016 Results Call. As usual, we will begin with a brief overview of the results before opening the floor to your questions. In 2016, several areas of market weakness limited the underlying growth potential of small domestic appliances, which stayed strong. We consider it an exceptional transitional year in terms of sales volume. Our priority was to protect profitability, to offset the negative impacts of volume and foreign exchange rates. We also executed a number of actions to lay the foundation of stronger and more profitable future growth, including product and go-to-market strategy optimization. Organic revenues were about flat overall, with an acceleration in quarter four, and the outperformance of coffee makers, Braun, and the main markets in North America, Asia Pacific, and Continental Europe. Market weakness was more evident in our cooking and food preparation products due to the higher exposure to the negative trend in the Middle East, U.K., Russia, and Turkey, excluding which revenues in the segment would have been up 1% organically. Despite this, EBITDA before non-recurring items was up by nearly 8 million euro, reaching 16% of revenues, with a peak of 20% in quarter four. This is after increased investments in A&P to support market expansion. Such operational performance translated into significant cash flow generation. Given the strong balance sheet, we can continue to actively look at growth opportunities by external lines, relying on a strong financial position, even after the higher dividend proposed for approval at the next AGM. Finally, we are confident about the current year. Despite the external environment, which still has areas of uncertainty, our brands take a leading share in the shelves of our clients, both online and offline, and continue winning the praise of consumers everywhere in the world. The group's focus has now shifted to accelerating the top-line growth. We will continue to support product launches and market expansion plans with adequate investments in R&D, A&P, and production capacity, confident to still deliver mid-single-digit organic revenue growth and yet another increase in EBITDA in 2017. With this in mind, I would like to briefly review the full-year results. Revenues stood at 1.85 billion euro, flat in organic terms and down 2.4% after the impact of foreign exchange rates, with an acceleration in quarter four at +3.1% organic. By geography, the Asia Pacific and Americas region outperformed, growing at 6.2% organic and led by North America, China, Japan, and Korea. This area is expected to show the strongest top-line growth in the group also in 2017. Revenues in Europe were up by 0.6% in organic terms. Germany, Southern and Eastern Europe were the most dynamic markets, while our sales were down in Russia and in the U.K. The Middle East, India, and Africa region saw the most troubled market conditions, with depressed consumer sentiment, higher stock levels, and import limitations. Despite a relatively better trend in quarter four, our revenues were down at about 20% in the year. I would like to point out that for the U.K. and the Middle East, we have a cautious outlook for 2017, also based on current trading conditions. Looking at product families, we achieved double-digit organic growth rates in automatic and manual coffee makers and successfully grew our U.S. presence with the Braun brand, which continues to grow nicely, especially in hand blenders. The single-serve market for coffee makers saw rising competition and challenging comparables in 2016, but we expect it to remain healthy in the medium term and unique vehicle to increase penetration in new markets. We're happy to continue in our commercial industrial partnership with Nespresso, to which we add the distribution business in North America and Switzerland this year. Sales in cooking and food preparation were affected by weakness in a number of large markets as the comparables become more favorable and our new products will come into play. We expect this business to gradually go back to delivering its solid underlying growth potential. Revenues in comfort products were slightly up, led by portable heaters. And finally, irons were up in the more profitable ironing system segment under the Braun brand, even though the whole category was down due to the actions to rationalize the product portfolio moving from De'Longhi to Braun. Profitability growth in 2016 is a tangible sign of our resiliency of our business. Price and mix improvements, cost efficiency, and selective approach to volumes allowed us to improve margins despite a heavy foreign exchange impact and higher advertising and promotional expenses. Net industrial margin reached nearly €906 million, or 49.1% as a percentage of revenues, increasing by 1.3 percentage points as compared with 2015. EBITDA, before non-recurring items, grew by 7.6 million and stood at €295.4 million. As a percentage of sales, this means 16% in the full year and 20% in quarter four alone. For the fourth consecutive year, we suffered a negative exchange rate effect worth about €33 million. We expect 2016 to be approximately neutral in this respect, marking an important change against the recent past. EBIT grew as well and amounted to €239 million, improving from 12.3% to 13% as a percentage of revenues. Below the EBIT, we recorded nearly €16 million of pre-tax gains from the valuation at fair value of the earnout due as part of the Braun license acquisition. This, as well as lower financial expenses, helped the net income reach €167 million, an increase of 12%. Adjusted net income, excluding extraordinary financial income, would be €156 million. Now, I would like to move to some key balance sheet figures. Our solid operating performance translated into a substantial improvement in the net cash position worth about €307 million at the end of 2016, a yearly increase of nearly €119 million. Net working capital in absolute value was only slightly up over the past 12 months, with inventories down by €2.6 million. The slight increase of net working capital as a percentage of sales from 13.2% to 13.8% is linked to the consolidation of new Procon Electronica and the translation into a stronger euro of inventory and receivables held by some of our subsidiaries. Finally, a few comments on our guidance for 2017, when we expect to return to solid organic revenue growth and to continue to deliver profitability improvements and operational cash flow. On top of organic growth, we also continue to actively seek M&A opportunities. Several new products in our portfolio, as well as our growth plans in areas such as North America and the Far East, will be supported by additional investments in terms of R&D, advertising, and promotion, mainly media for an additional 15 million euro compared with 2016, and production capacity. We are confident that these investments will provide the group with an even more solid growth platform for the future. Despite certain markets still proving weak, we confirm our expectations to deliver organic revenue growth in the mid-single-digit range in 2017. Regarding profitability, operating leverage on volumes and mix improvements will allow us to improve EBITDA in absolute terms, despite our plans to invest more. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Nicolò Pessina, Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks a lot for taking my questions. I would have three. First, on the dividend, should we assume this payout ratio to be confirmed also in the future, or such a high payout ratio compared to the past, is it just a one-off? Second point is on the CapEx. I'm wondering if you could give us some timeline for the new investments you're planning in Italy and in Romania, and which kind of impact you would expect, on the top line growth. In particular, should we assume a return to high single-digit growth already in the midterm as a result of these investments? Finally, on the extra cost for A&P and R&D in 2017, I'm wondering if we should assume a one-to-one impact on EBITDA, or if you expect them to be offset by other cost savings on other cost items, or maybe the A&P cost to drive further top line growth as a result of higher marketing spending.
Thank you. First question about dividends. I think that in 2016, the group really delivered a very strong cash generation on top of a really very solid net cash position. Since an extraordinary dividend is not harming at all our firepower in case of acquisition, which I think we can stay probably around 1.5 billion-1.6 billion, despite the increased dividend, we've decided to have a one-off dividend for this year. This is not really a policy. The second question is about CapEx. We have decided to invest in and strengthen our position in our plant in Romania, and also we will start the construction of the new R&D center in Italy. This will probably impact around 15 million euros in the first half of 2017, and another probably 23 million-25 million in the second half of 2017. We expect the CapEx around 100 million euro for 2017. These investments are also expected to continue in 2018. Although we expect a lower impact on 2018, to then normalize in 2019. Our third question was about On the third question is about the growth rates expected for the future. For the moment, our main goal is to increase growth and to go back to our long-term growth targets. I think the first step is to go back to a mid-single-digit growth. So I don't want to say to raise the bar and to give expectation for a higher growth rate. I still believe that we're facing more difficult economies like South America, like Middle East. Russia is still quite unpredictable, and also generally more stable markets also in Europe. So we think that definitely to go back to a mid-single-digit growth rate will, in the end, need more investments from our side. I think companies will have to build their own growth in the future rather than to enjoy very strong underlying growth rates. So that's why we are activating more growth-led activities in terms of A&P and obviously in production capacity.
All right, very clear. Just
for the increased investment, we think that you have to consider one-to-one impact for the increased R&D investment, A&P investment in EBITDA.
All right, very clear. Many thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Nicolas Langlet of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions, please. The first one is on the EBITDA change in Q4. If you can give us the different drivers of the EBITDA was stable, but what were the plus and the minus in Q4 and for the full year, that would be great. The second question is on the first weeks of 2017. If you can comment on the trend per region, and do you think it's reasonable to expect a mid-single digit like-for-like already in Q1? And the last question is on the raw material. At this stage, what sort of impact do you expect for 2017? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So first question is about the bridge on EBITDA the full year bridge to 2016 EBITDA, starting from €288 million. We have a positive price increase for about €12 million. We have cost reductions, cost savings for about €16 million. We have a positive mix for €27 million. We have negative exchange rates or lower hedging for €33 million. We have negative volumes for €4 million and about €10 million negative impact of others. This leading to €295 million for the year.
Okay, perfect. And just on the pricing, if I remember well, it was up €16 million for the 9 months. So if it's 12 for the full year, it means that the impact was negative in Q4.
No, it's stable. We are at 15.8, I would say, fairly stable. I think that if you remember, after the fourth quarter, we had already announced last year that price increases started before quarter four 2015. So this was expected.
Okay.
The second question is about the quarter one performance, current trading, and we think that we will have a progression We expect to deliver some growth in quarter one and progressively improve along the year.
Okay.
The fourth question is about raw materials. We expect this year a negative impact on raw materials.
Are you able to quantify the impact at this stage?
1%.
Okay, 1% raw material inflation.
On sales.
Okay, 1% of sales. Okay, and just on the MEA region, so you said in your introduction comment that you remain cautious for that region. Does it mean that you expect still a decline on like-for-like for 2017, or we should at least expect a stabilization of the weak trend?
No, a stabilization. I think that it's very difficult to read the trend now or a change in trend in Middle East and U.K. So I would say I expect a stabilization. We might have better quarters or worse quarters, but generally speaking, we will have a stabilization, and I think that we had already suffered in 2016, the sharp decline of MEA and also the beginning of the decline in the U.K. So I would expect, again, more stabilization rather than decline.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for the answers already provided. A couple of questions from my side. If we can talk also a bit more about the Braun brand, can you tell us what is their share of sales, or what was in absolute amount, what is the sales for Braun, and what was their underlying growth for Braun? And if you can share also how it has been developing in the U.S. Are you happy with the rollout? What still has to be done? And what is the expected profitability of Braun brand maybe this year, but also in the midterm, and how the insourcing is going on? Another question on the Romanian plant investment. It seems like you already have increased quite significantly capacity since you have acquired this plant several years ago. So this additional capacity, do you look at the return on additional investment? What kind of cost savings do you think you can achieve, or how that should support your margins going forward? And maybe, sorry, back to the Braun question. What is the situation with the earn-out? Why there was a revaluation and this impact on the P&L, and what will that mean on the cash outflows I would expect for 2017? And the last question is on Kenwood. What was the performance of Kenwood last year in 2016? Because I see that the kitchen has declined by roughly 17%. I assume that most of it is coming from Kenwood. So if you can tell us how is the current development, what are expectations for Kenwood for this year? Thank you.
Okay, so first question is on Braun. We don't want to disclose details on by brand and in the single markets. I think maybe we should give some flair of the mega trends for the brand in the regions. And said Braun, the top markets for Braun were definitely Middle East and Russia. So in this perspective, soft Middle East and soft Russia translating some lower sales in the regions for Braun. But the Braun performance was positive in the year, thanks to the success in the United States. So we believe that to sign in perspective, 2017 should be a very strong year for the Braun brand, as we expect a stabilization in Middle East and definitely improvements in Russia, on top of a stronger opportunity in the United States. We're very happy, we're very pleased with the success, so we have expectation for a double-digit growth of Braun and a very strong performance in North America. which definitely will not be limited to 2017, but can be another strong pillar for the group, say, return to growth in the future years. Having said so, second question was about the Romanian plant. Why the Romanian plant? The first reason is to support the brown growth. We expect to move, from buy to make. So we will start making more brown products within our facility, which will translate in very likely lower cost for the group, which will help also the group to offset the increased raw materials that we have already mentioned previously in the questions before. But also the Romanian plant has another meaning for us, is that we have a very strong underlying performance of coffee makers. The coffee makers are still growing at about 6%, and also in the first months of 2017. And we think that this is a long-term pillar for our growth, and we need to create the right production capacity to support our growth potential. Third question was about earn-out. Due to the market condition of Middle East and Russia, we have decided we had to adjust our earn-out valuation. Has been adjusted, has been reduced, and now has been reduced by about 15 million euro, which was recorded in our P&L as extraordinary income, financial income. And now the remainder of the earnout is still at around 21 million euros. Now, Kenwood, also, I don't like to disclose performances by brands. I can say that in food preparation, and I'm speaking about Braun and Kenwood together, if we exclude the weak markets, which are UK, where the group is not losing market share, and Middle East, where also the group is not losing market share, Turkey, which we have almost exited the market, the performance in food preparation is more or less flat year on year. So I think that probably is not growing as before. We had very strong years for kitchen machines and food preparation in general. But the performance of Braun and Kenwood in the segment is more due to some geographic issues, market condition, and constraints which are now being solved or are being in progress and will be progressively solved in 2017, like, for instance, in Middle East. So I think that obviously it's not a good year for food preparation, but probably food preparation is better than it might appear from the reporting numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a few questions. The first is related to Europe, so your outlook. You were commenting before that probably also Europe is slightly slowing down, so if you can give us your feeling for 2017. On the CapEx, I follow up. So I'm trying to understand if the investments are just for adding capacity or if you are also introducing, say, higher innovation, automation in the plant, so if you're also changing a little bit the plant structure, so the production structure. And on the savings that you were mentioning for 2016, a third question in your EBITDA bridge, are you including the savings also the raw material contribution? And if you can help me in a recap of the drivers for the 2017 EBITDA, you were mentioning A&P, neutral effects, negative raw material. Can you also give me the feeling about the price and mix contribution that you would expect for 2017? And last question, just on the growth opportunities that you were mentioning for the Far East, if you can elaborate a little bit more for the projects for the Far East.
Yeah, no, we believe Europe obviously is not a high growth region. So we expect a low growth rate for Europe, probably excluding coffee machines, where we still are enjoying a very nice growth rate. I really think that I want to underline our continued strong performance in coffee makers. And so I think that we can expect a very, say, slow growth in Europe or stability in Europe, excluding coffee, where we expect a continued growth, where the group should be able to deliver strong results. The second question was about investments in Romania. The main reason is capacity. We need capacity to support our growth, expected growth in coffee machines, and also our expected growth in brown, which I already touched before. As said, we will move from contract manufacturer into, let's say, production, in-house production, probably progressively in the next year and next years. Also, we are improving our productivity. Our goal is, say, we will implement a new production system, which we call 4.0, more aimed to be more flexible. So it's more focused in be quicker to react to orders, reducing inventories, reducing risks, underlying high inventory levels, and better serving the market, rather than taking out cost from production. And the third question was with regard to the cost saving of 2016.
2016.
And
Material.
Okay, I hand over the question to.
We have a saving on raw material.
Mr. James.
Good afternoon. We have a saving on raw material around in the 2016, around 1.1. And we have also a benefit coming from the distribution cost, especially from freight by sea, due to a very good price that we get during the 2016, due to a very good condition of the market. For the future, we imagine to, let me say, to have a trend in increasing in term of price on the freight. Also on the raw material, as Mr. De'Longhi said before.
Fourth question is about the bridge.
Yeah, the price mix, probably, if you want to recap also the other drivers, but probably price mix was the only, say, missing part in your speech.
So the main bridge from 2016 to, let's say, expected 2017 result would be the main positives would be, I would say, volume and mix, and probably the main negative would be on the cost, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. May I add just a follow-up on, because looking at your tax rate in 2016, probably the underlying tax rate can be difficult to read due to the gain. I don't know if it is taxable or how.
It is.
It is treated. Ah, okay.
Taxable, yeah.
So the 26% is also the underlying tax rate. Do you expect any benefit from from patent box, from the corporate tax rate reduction in Italy, from Industria 4.0, as you were mentioning, in terms of CapEx investments?
Effective, we have a 27%. This is also due to patent box. It's due to patent box. We expect this tax rate will be fairly stable in the next, at least next year, but in the next years.
Okay, but just a clarification. So the 27 is already. So have you already booked some benefit from the patent box?
Yes. We have already booked.
Okay.
About 3 million euros.
Okay.
An estimation is around 3 million euros already booked this year.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Niccolò Pessina, Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, I would have a few follow-up questions. The first one is on Italy and the UK. Looking at the presentation, I have a feeling that the last quarter of the year was negative for Italy, while fairly positive for the UK, which would show a reversion of the trend that we had seen in the first 9 months of the year. So I'm wondering if my interpretation is correct, and eventually which are the drivers behind this performance. Second point on the buyback, I'm wondering what's the reasoning behind the proposal to the AGM of this buyback, and if we should see it as an alternative to M&A, or if you plan to actually implement the buyback, even if you plan to do M&A. Third point on the hedging of Forex for 2017, if we can have any detail about the hedging of the US dollar and Chinese yuan. And finally, the amount of the securitization, a rough idea of the amount of the securitization at the end of 2016.
No, okay. The performance of Italy in quarter four was positive. On the contrary, the performance of UK in the quarter was negative.
Okay.
So we have different trends for these two very important markets for the group. What we have approved is every year we improve the possibility for the company to buy back shares. This is really now customary. We have never bought back any share, but we still want to retain this opportunity in the future, and this has been discussed at the board meeting and will be submitted at AGM in the next AGM meeting in April. There was also a comment on M&A. I'm not sure if I missed it. There was something about a question about M&A for you.
I was just wondering if buyback should be seen as an alternative to M&A.
No, really. I believe M&A is really we have two top priorities for 2017 and going forward, and they are growth, both internal and external growth. In internal growth, as said, we want to create a strong base for capturing growth. And that's why we will invest more in advertising, as mentioned. And also we will invest in R&D and factories. And the second one is we are seeking opportunities, and M&A is definitely one of the top priorities. We believe that As we see markets generally more difficult, maybe except coffee, we think that the external growth lever will be more and more important for De'Longhi in the future. And buyback is not an alternative to M&A. About hedging, we have already hedged dollar and many other currency we are exposed to, and we expect 2017 to be probably the first flat or almost flat year after four very difficult years of very negative exchange rates for the group. So this is really a relief for us. We can go back to focus to growth as in the past rather than to protect profitability. And the fourth question was about securitization. Securitization for 2016 was at year end 120 million euros, approximately.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli, Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. My first question is on R&D and advertising and promotion. Should we expect a permanent step up on these two cost lines going forward, or should we look at it as a temporary increase? And the second one is again on those two expenditure. I was wondering why you decide to significantly increase costs on R&D and A&P this year rather than 2016. You partially mentioned the fact that the environment has changed, and I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit more on that. So if you see increasing competition, which forces you somehow to push on those two items to keep up with the historical growth rate. Finally, if you can comment on the UK market, where I think the consumption are still weak on certain categories, and the currency is not helping you, and how should we see the overall UK market in 2017? Thank you.
Well, thank you for the questions. I think no, the investments in R&D and A&P shall be considered permanent. The A&P investments are faster and easier to activate, and I would like to remind that we had increased already in the end of 2016 our media spent by approximately 10 million euros, and we expect to reinforce next year with another 15 million euros. And this has to be considered permanent. I think that we have a very strong cash generation, we have good products and good opportunities, and given a very strong profitability, we don't want to stress further the profitability. It's time to make, to accelerate growth. And we believe it's a very wise decision, and probably the cheapest way to grow in the future. And R&D is a little bit slower to implement, as you have to hire people, train people, and has to be done progressively. We have done a bit this year. We're building the new R&D center. And we expect to increase probably about 4 million euros in people already in 2017, and probably to continue in the future. I believe that one of the pillars of the success of De'Longhi is better products, and we have to continue to have the best in class products in the categories where we want to compete and we want to be leader. A second question was about UK, and definitely UK is probably one of the most difficult markets. We had already suffered a tough year-end. Second half was very tough. We expect probably also first half of 2017 still tough, and then we expect either a bounce back or a progressive stabilization of the market. But we know Middle East will be flat, and UK will be difficult in the first half and then stabilize. But despite this, we think that we will recover Russia, we will do very well in North America, we can do very well in coffee and also Asia. We're very strong about coffee, strong about North America and brown and Asia, and we believe that the group will go back to growth despite these external issues that we're facing in UK and still Middle East.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, this is Anna again. So follow-up on your question of the expectations by regions. Do you already see the signs of recovery in Russia or in the Middle East? How the beginning of the year has started for you, and what kind of inventory levels do you see across the regions? So do you see that the inventory level already clean and lean, so that there will be some pent-up demand maybe, or some restocking? Or do you think there will be some, still maybe some volatility, and some destocking? That's the first question. The second question on the gross margin expectations. So you have a bit of headwinds from the raw material, the products mix, question mark, how that will develop, given that also you have the distribution with Nespresso, that it should be kind of lower gross margin product, but then you also should have some cost optimization with the insourcing of Braun. So how do you see the gross margin development for 2017, but also going forward? And regarding the raw material inflation, do you think that you will absorb this with the cost efficiencies, or do you think that you will increase a little bit the prices to offset the raw material inflation? And the final question on the UK and on the pound devaluation. Seb said that they are going to increase the prices. They're already increasing the prices. Do you think it's what you're also going to do? How easy it is, and how do you think the customers will react? What would be the elasticity and the impact on volumes? Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Russia, we will start. We are intaking on orders. Order intake is good. We expect March to see pickup. So probably quarter one visibility would be very limited for Russia, or improvements in current trading first quarter would be very limited, but we expect a positive March and then a positive progression for the remainder of the year. Middle East is more difficult. It is complex, many markets, and also we have a longer route to market, as we have to deal through not just the dealers, but also not just the retailers, but also our distributors. It's more difficult to monitor, and we have mixed situation, different situation from maybe Egypt to Saudi or Iran. So I think to us is really is more difficult to assess, as stocks are in the hands of multiple parties in the supply chain. That's why we are more cautious on, and we expect a more flat year on Middle East, while we are more bullish on Russia, where we have a direct liaison with the key retailers. For the gross margin, we expect the main positive will be volume and mix. The main negatives will be cost of raw materials. We will be helped by some efficiencies due to the Romanian factory, for instance. And obviously, we will have higher A&P. Yeah, absolutely higher A&P. but still we think we can expand our EBITDA in absolute value. In England, we will probably England will be the exception. We don't have this year price increases to be passed to the market, with the exception of UK. In the UK, we have already passed partially the prices. We will probably have to pass a second price increase in the next months.
And how significant are the price increase in the UK?
Not very happy, of course. I think everybody is trying to increase the prices, and so all the manufacturer, all the brands are increasing prices, and pricing would be passed on into retailers. Yeah, would be difficult because the market conditions are tough, but that would be achieved. About 5%.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti, Equita. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is just on the Far East. So what are the specific projects that you are implementing to accelerate growth in the Far East?
I mean, in Far East, we still see growth potential for China, particularly. We think that the shift in distribution that we are assisting today is a great opportunity for De'Longhi, because we see internet is growing very rapidly. This will help De'Longhi, let's say, to accelerate, even if, let's say, we have a more limited retail distribution in the UK, in China. So what we are seeing as a tremendous opportunity to reach quickly, more effectively, in a more also in probably more cheaply consumers across China. The strategy is still on our core products, as coffee is very successful, and also food preparation. We see a good trend for European style hand blenders and food processors and kitchen machines, as Chinese are more and more into baking and food preparation. Obviously, we see also potential in all the region for coffee machines. I think coffee machines would be one of the key drivers in the region, from Japan to Southern East Asia and in Australia.
Okay. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Nicolo Pessina, which is a follow-up of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks a lot. One very final question. I have a feeling from this call that focus on Asia is increasing. So I'm wondering if you would consider an Asian company as a potential takeover target, even if it does not have a brand already well known outside of Asia.
Well, Asia is obviously one of the top priorities for the group. If we look at the global GDP, most of the growth is coming from China, and of course China is a top priority for us. Obviously, if we had to make an acquisition, definitely China, Asia is one of the region where we are interested to to buy a company, brand, or products.
Okay, thank you so much.
The next question is a follow-up from Luca Bacoccoli, Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, please. A follow-up on the Far East project that you mentioned. It might be interesting because of the online channel where you think to sell your core products, so coffee machine and kitchen machine, which, if I'm not wrong, are basically mainly manufactured in Europe. So I was wondering, how could you be competitive in selling in China something that is produced in Europe? So I think that the time lag is going to be quite long.
No. First of all, I think there is a strong appetite for European-made products in China, particularly when we speak about coffee and food. There is a really strong appetite for Euro-style and European brands in China. At the same time, I want to underline that also we have a very, very big operation and factory in China where we make most of our products. So I think that we are well positioned to capture the growth opportunity given by growth in China. Again, going back to my first statement, I think that particularly when we speak about coffee, to have an Italian brand is very, very important. I would say it's a must to have a European or Italian brand to compete in the coffee arena in China. I don't think the Chinese brands are attractive enough to the Chinese consumers willing to buy coffee machines.
Okay.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you. If there are no more questions, I want to thank you for attending the De'Longhi Group Full Year 2016 Results Conference Call. Thank you.